Well, welcome you to the house of God this evening. We'll just bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to draw near to us and prepare our hearts even as we enter in to worship Him. So let's just unite together in prayer. Father in heaven and eternal God, we bow in Thy holy, Thy sacred presence. We come once again pleading only the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, in this Thy day that Thou hast given us a place where we can meet together. But Lord, most importantly, that we can meet with Thee. And we pray, O God, that Thou would send the Spirit. Help, Lord, in every part of the meeting. And bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We're going to turn in our hymn books this evening to the hymn 700, please. 700 on the page 458. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven. A holy, a happy band. So let's stand to worship the Lord. Hymn 700 in our hymn books. And let's lift our voices to praise the great God of heaven. That's good singing, so let's just unite together in prayer, please, just before we move into the evening program, the children. So let's once again just still ourselves before the Lord and then hand over to Superintendent Mr. Robert Ward. So let's unite in prayer. Father in heaven, we do rejoice and give thanks that we can, on earth, we can praise our God. When we think, O God, what we have in the revelation there of that scene of the multitudes around the throne, that cry, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Lord, Thou hast given us, Thy blood-bought people, this blessed privilege to lift our voices to Thee. For Thou hast, O God, put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God.
We thank thee, Father, that you took us from that fearful pit. And we rejoice that you brought us up, O God, from the miry clay. And you set our feet upon the rock. And you've established our goings. Oh, we bless thee, those that know and love thee. For those who have heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast led us out of our sin. You have brought us out, O God, in order that you might bring us in. Blessed be thy name. We thank thee, Lord, that we follow thee in life, O God. We take our cue from the Scripture. We rejoice that thy word is truth. Lord, we thank thee for this day in the church calendar. We thank you for Children's Day. We bless thee for every little child, every young person. We thank the Lord for their teachers and for all they have learned throughout this Sunday school year. We pray that thou would bless them abundantly. Oh, we think of the parable of the sower, Lord. And we pray that these little hearts will bring forth fruit unto perfection. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Oh, we pray, O Father, that thou would save them where they're young in life. That thou would rescue them from a life of sinning. A life, O God, with all its scars of sin and all the misery attended with it. Lord, we pray that thou would be merciful to each and every one of them. Open our hearts, Lord. Those that know and love thee, we pray that you would bless them. Encourage them, Father. Speak to them, we asked of thee. Strengthen them in their faith, O Father, this wicked and evil world that they live in. But we thank thee, Lord, you don't leave us to ourselves. We thank thee for the Holy Ghost who dwells within our hearts. And we rejoice, O God, he's the one who comes and ministers to us the things of Christ. And we pray that again this evening, that he will come, that he will minister through the children. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Make us attentive, we beseech of thee. Lord, let our thoughts not be distracted by, Lord, what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll shut us into the moment. Shut us into our God and shut out every distraction. Oh, we pray that thou would bid depart all the fowls of the air. Lord, we pray that people will be riveted even upon this worship service. Oh, Lord, bless now as the little ones come forward. Help them, Lord, take away the nerves. We pray that thou would speak to us through them, that thou would glorify thy Son. Remember the congregation. Once again, Lord, we lift it up before thee. We lay it all at thy feet. We do not need to rehearse to thee everyone's particular need. For thou art the one who knows all things. We pray that thou wilt come and minister to thy dear children. Meet them at the very point of their need. Give them grace for, Lord, the trial. Help them, O God, and lift up their spirits if they be downcast. We pray that thou wilt give guidance to those who are seeking guidance, correction to those who need it, and in all things that Christ himself will be honored and glorified. So do us good, Lord, even as we wait on before thee. For these things we pray in the Redeemer's precious and his worthy name. Amen. Well, just at this point in the service, we're going to hand over to our brother, Mr. Robert Ward, and he's going to introduce the children as they take part in the evening program, Children's Day. Brother Robert.
Once again, it's good to see the meeting house well packed again this night. I'll say no more about that, but I'll ask Eliana to come forward here and help me. I was getting worried there for a moment myself. Well, of Lydia's class now, and Lydia's class is going to come, and they're going to sing the first three verses of Encamped Along the Hills.
Yeah.
Well done, Lydia's class. Now we're going to have Gordon Emery's class. They're coming to recite the first psalm for us.
Psalm 1, bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor is the sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knoweth wherewith righteous, with wherewith ungodly shall perish.
Well done, Gordon's class. Now we're going to ask Thomas to come and read the scriptures to us. And he's going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 or 12 to 18. Now if you're here this morning, you might see Thomas and think, that's the same boy who was there this morning. Indeed, it's not. It's his twin brother.
Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, brethren, we are heirs not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that way we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Very well done, Thomas. Now we're going to get John's class up. And they're going to recite Psalm 61 for us.
Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock which is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my voice. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my voice.
Very well done, girls. Very well done. Now the intermediates are coming. They're going to sing, If I Come to Jesus. If you're an intermediate or look like an intermediate. pulpit.
In the pulpit, one up.
Stuck that in my bro. Who don't care? Group. Elizabeth's class now is going to come, and they're going to do books of the New Testament on their meanings.
Books of the Bible and their meanings, New Testament. Matthew, Jesus the true king. Mark, Jesus the servant of all. Luke, Jesus the man of compassion. John, Jesus the son of God. Acts, the acts of the apostles. Romans, God's plan to save us.
1 Corinthians, the problems of the church. 2 Corinthians, Paul answers his accusers. Galatians, Christianity as reality. Ephesians, we are one in Christ. Philippians, serve others with joy. Colossians, Jesus is above all things. And 1 Thessalonians, encouragement for new Christians.
2 Thessalonians, the return of Christ, 1 Timothy, advice to a young preacher, 2 Timothy, encouragement to a soldier of Christ, Titus, instructions for doing good, Philemon, a saint becomes a Christian, Hebrews, a better life through Christ, James, how to live as Christian.
1 Peter, written to God's elect, 2 Peter, correcting the false teachings, 1 John, the love of God, 2 John, beware of false teachers, 3 John, love to those who walk in the truth, Jude, warnings of evil men, Revelation, the uncovering.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude, Revelation.
Hold on, girls. Excellent. Well done. Excellent. Now my own class is going to come. They're going to recite Ephesians 2:1-9.
Ephesians 2:1-9, and you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Good on, man. Well done, lads. Now, Raymond's class, they're going to recite Psalm 51.
Mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, there desireth truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part that shall make me to know wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew thy spirit within me.
Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Then will I teach some craft which thou wise, and snare shall be compared unto thee.
Now we're coming to our final piece. The seniors are going to sing I Have a Shepherd. Thank you. Well, folks, this brings our programme for Children's Sunday to an end. I'd like to take this opportunity just to thank all the boys and girls for your hard work. They come faithfully every Sabbath with their catechism learnt and their scripture learnt. They're attentive in the class. As you can see, I'm sure we'll all agree tonight, they're well reversed in the scriptures. So our prayer that the Lord would come and reap a harvest in our Sabbath school to the glory of his name, that he would save the boys and girls at that young and tender age that they're at. And as for anyone else that's sitting in this congregation this night, out of Christ, be sure you know the truth of the gospel, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As unconditional friend, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for the Sabbath school teachers. It's a lonely stand. The meat has to be put on the bone every week as you come before the boys and girls. And believe you me, there's boys and girls that was in this pulpit tonight and this morning, and they know whether the meat's on the bone or it's not. There's a lot of them well reversed in the scriptures in their homes. Pray for the Sabbath school teacher and pray for the boys and girls. I thank you again, parents, for sending them out faithfully every Sabbath. It's you that play a big part in our Sabbath school. Send the boys and girls out. We're in an age where wee Billy and wee Mary says, no, I don't want to go today. I don't want to do this today. Well, I thank God that on morn that there is parents not only care about the welfare of their children and that, if they have a cough, they get them to the doctor, or if they need something, they go out and buy it, but they have a burden for their souls. For we know not what our day does bring forth. I lost a dear friend today. A lady went to hospital for an operation and came out of the operation, but it went terribly wrong a few days later. And today, the life support machine was turned off out into God's eternity. I'm sure it was the last thing went into her head. The last thing she texted me was, I'm here for the operation, onward and upward. Be saved. Be saved today, for we know not what our day does bring forth. So thank yous all, and I'll hand the rest of the meeting back to our brother. God bless.
Again, I'd like to just re-echo the words that have already been mentioned there and say to the young people and the boys and girls, well done. We thank you for ministering to us tonight and rehearsing your recitations and singing to us, and it's been a blessing. Just going to ask now your brother, Mr. Ian Campbell, to come forward and to make the announcements to the congregation for the incoming week, please.
Well, it's a tremendous joy to welcome each and every one of you here this evening, both young and old. We're glad that you have joined with us. Indeed, we have been richly blessed as the young people have sung and recited, and we trust the Lord will richly bless them in the coming days. Those of you who join us remotely, we're glad you do, and we trust that you'll continue with us this evening as we come around the word of the Lord very shortly, and that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. We welcome again the Reverend Andrew Stewart to the pulpit again this evening. Our brother labours for the Lord in our Ballymena congregation, and we trust that he'll know the Lord's help as he brings the word even to us all in a moment or two. Some announcements, subject as always to the mind and will of the Lord. Do remember Tuesday night at 8, our prayer meeting and Bible study. In the absence of the Reverend Harris, who has another meeting to attend, Mr. Jonathan Story, one of our licentiates, will be along to minister the word. Thursday at 7:30, there is a meeting for those who are able to assist later on in the summer at our Holiday Bible Club. Let me just remind you that our Holiday Bible Club takes place from Monday the 7th to Friday the 11th of August, each day between 10:30 and 12:30. So if you're able to help at all, please do join with us on Thursday night at 7 so that the necessary arrangements can be made, please. Friday night is the fundraiser for Uganda in our church complex that commences at 7:30, and all will be made most welcome. The services next Lord's Day are all at the normal times. Do remember the early season of prayer at 9 a.m. The Sunday school and the Bible class will once more be in the complex next Lord's Day, and that commences at 10:30, while the adult Bible class in the prayer room commences at 10:45. Our brother Philip Kyle will be along to look after the adult Bible class. And then our pulpit supply for next Lord's Day will be the Reverend Paul Fitzsimons. Our brother labours in our Mull of Glass Free Presbyterian Church, and he will be along to preach the word at both times for public worship at 12 noon and 7. Do remember the times of prayer preceding those services. And also, let me remind you that next Lord's Day evening, we will be meeting around the Lord's table to remember his death in his own appointed fashion. And we do look forward to receiving two new members in even next Lord's Day evening. Finally, a few other announcements to draw to your attention. Let me say that the latest edition of the Let the Bible Speak magazine is available on the porch table and also on the window ledge there. There's quite a number of them that are sitting there, previous editions. Please do take them, make use of them, give them out to friends or loved ones. Let's get this literature out even to others, please. And then do remember the meetings as they continue in June. The open airs will be continuing each Lord's Day afternoon at 3:30. Next week it will be held at Masters Green on the School Road in Ballymartin. We're very grateful to all who came and joined with us this afternoon. Please do continue to do that. There will be tract distribution, and there will be those who will be singing and various speakers. And do come and encourage us with your presence if you can. The five-day clubs with Miss Christina Logan, they are between Monday the 12th and Friday the 16th of June. There are two meetings, 4 p.m. in the front garden of 35 Manse Road, and then at 7 p.m. Hillside Close, Newry Street. And we do want to acknowledge the kindness of those who have granted these places even for our use. Please do remember that and encourage the boys and girls along. Lord's Day the 18th is the annual offering for our Christian Day School, when all the offerings will be given towards the work of our independent Christian school. And then finally, we've been mentioning this over the past couple of weeks, but do remember the two special meetings on the theme of family worship with the Reverend Paul Foster. He is the minister of our Dromore Free Presbyterian Church, and he will be along on Tuesday the 20th and Wednesday the 21st to minister on this theme. Now, on Tuesday, his subject will be the importance of family worship, and then on Wednesday, much more practical then, whenever he's set the basis on the Tuesday night, he will be looking at the implementation of family worship. Do bring your Bible, do plan to attend, and do pray that the Lord will richly bless these times around his word.
We'll ask you to turn this evening to 2 Kings chapter 22. So 2 Kings chapter 22, and we'll read some verses from the Word of God. And then we will look to the Lord to give us help. 2 Kings chapter 22. And as you're turning there, I brought my friend. And he's going to do his job again. Nothing to report this morning. Everyone was so well behaved. Everyone was listening up very attentively. We didn't have too many sleepers. We had just a few amongst the adults and maybe one or two amongst the children. But just to call for your attention, the moments that remain, give your attention to the Lord's word. It's not my word. He sent me as his messenger, and we just want to come and bring the message that he has given for this evening. So 2 Kings chapter 22, and we'll commence our reading at the verse 1. So let's hear the word of our God. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Diah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way, in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully." Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 7. We'll look to the Lord just now in a brief word of prayer and ask them to help even as we come to consider these things that we have read. So let's just unite in prayer. Eternal God and gracious and loving Father, we bow before Thee and we thank Thee, Lord, for the meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that has happened, all that we have heard, witnessed, O God. We thank Thee for these young people who have been instructed in the things of God. And we pray that Thou would bless them abundantly. And now we gather around the word. We pray, Father, for Thy help. I pray, Lord, I stand as a candidate for a fresh cleansing of the blood of the Lamb and to be infilled with the Holy Ghost. O God, I pray that I will stand and minister in the power of the Spirit, not in the energy of the flesh, for it will profit nothing. O grant unto this preacher the tongue of the wise. Give unto me, O God, Lord, Thy power. Help me, O God, to speak as Thou would have me to speak. We pray that attention would be grasped and riveted, not by this preacher, but by the Spirit. Lord, we pray that Thou would quicken us by Thy word. Our souls that cleave to the dust, weariness will come to attack the flesh. O God, it will seek to dull the mind. But Lord, for the moments, Lord, elevate, O God, that we pray. Give us the help that we so desire. And speak, Lord. We do not want to waste a moment. There is a great urgency in the preaching of the gospel. For it's already been said, there's none know what a day may bring forth. So grant us, O God, Thy presence, and give unto us Thy blessing. And hear our petitions, for we have a single eye to the glory of Thy dear Son, in whose name we asked these things. Amen. Now, I wonder, does anyone remember, more so of the boys and girls, because I know the more senior you get, your memory's not as good, but can you remember what you were doing on the 6th of May? Or if you cannot remember what you were doing on the 6th of May, can anyone remember what special event happened on the 6th of May? Does anyone? Yes. The king got coronated. That's exactly right. The coronation of King Charles III at Westminster Abbey. And you can come and see me or make yourself known at the door and I'll give you some of these sweets. The coronation of King Charles III at Westminster Abbey. Now, it was a day that was marked with much symbolism and tradition, much of which was based on the Bible. It has to be said, however, the significance and the importance of that was missed or misunderstood by many, even those involved in that extravagant ceremony, even by the king himself. Before the king was anointed with oil, before he was invested with garments, before he was presented with certain items, he was given
a copy of the Scripture, the Word of God, with these accompanying words, "Sir, to keep you ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as a rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, receive this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." And though the Bible was front and center in that ceremony, even supplying much of the soundtrack to that event, it has by this nation largely been put to the side. It has been lost to a generation or even two who know little or nothing of the Word of God, even the most fundamental basics that God created everything in 6 days. You see, when the Bible is neglected by a nation, it seems to be that anything goes. There's no standard of morality. There's no absolute right or wrong. Logic and sensibility, even basic biology, seems to go out the window. You know, right and wrong, it's replaced by, well, if I feel it's right, if I think it's right, well, then it is right. Institutional structures ordained by God for the benefit and the preservation of life, well, they begin to crumble. They take on forms and they do things that God never intended them to be or to do. The family unit, the government, even the church. In such a time when the Bible is pushed and set to the side, a downward spiral of sin and wickedness ensues. Now that's the type of nation that we find in 2 Kings chapter 21. A land and a people who had forgotten the Lord. Now at that time, a man by the name of Manasseh, he ruled the kingdom of Judah. And in verse 2 of chapter 21, we read that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And in that chapter, we have a catalogue of all his wrongdoings. Though that man found grace and mercy at the end of his days, his reign by and large was marked by wickedness. His son Amon succeeded him to the throne. And he ruled just like his father, even sinning more and more. But he was assassinated after 2 years. And that brings us into chapter 22. And we're going to think about this chapter tonight. And we're going to think about the boy king. The boy king. Now the first thing I want you to think about and draw to your attention is the coronation of Josiah. Now I wonder, is there any young boys here and they're aged 8? Is there any boys who are aged 8? No boys aged 8. Any girls aged 8? There's one girl aged 8. Well, this little fella, Josiah, he was crowned, he was coronated king at the age of 8. Now, that's a young age, isn't it? And we read that when the kings were coronated, and when they became kings of the nation, they were crowned with crowns. But they were crowned with crowns upon their head. I'll not preach with that on, that'll be too distracting. But they were also anointed with some oil. Some oil was poured upon their head. Now that was a symbolic act. And it indicated that those men were ordained by God and they could not fulfill their office, they could not do that which pleased the Lord, except by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now there was many kings ruled in Israel, ruled in Judah. They had crowns placed upon their head. They had oil poured upon their head, but they knew nothing of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Ghost was not upon them because we read many times of those kings, they did evil and they did not do that which was right in the sight of God. But Josiah, he was different. He was different. You see, we read in verse 2 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father. That was his great ancestor, 16 generations before. That's what it says. And he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Here's a young boy, 8 years of age. God put him sovereignly upon the throne of Judah, the king of Judah, and this was a little boy who was saved. He had the anointing of the Spirit of God upon him. The Holy Spirit lived within his heart. He did that which pleased the Lord. Even though he had grown up in a home where his father, Amon, was a wicked man. And even though he grew up in a land which had, by and large, turned its back upon God, here was a young boy that did right, that which was right in the sight of God, and he walked in the ways of the Lord. And what a wonderful encouragement that is. You know, we often think it's environment that is essential for young boys, young girls to be saved, for God to put His Spirit upon them. But here's a young man in a wicked nation with an ungodly father, and God raises him up. And he does that which is right in the sight of God. A little boy of 8 years of age. Now it's only possible that he could do that which is right in the sight of God because the Lord had given him a new heart. See, by nature, there's none of us who walk in the ways of the Lord. We heard about that this morning. We're described as sheep that go astray. God says, thou shalt not, we do. God says, thou shalt, and we don't. And Josiah was no different. He was born with that sinful nature, with that wicked heart. But there was a point in his life when he trusted in the Lord for salvation, just as David, his great ancestor, had done. See, it says there that he walked in all the way of David, his father, his great ancestor. And you know, many times in the book of the Psalms, we read of David's faith. We read there, David many times speaking of God, my salvation, or how he had trusted in the Lord. And I wonder, is that something that you have done? Little boy, little girl, you might be 8, you might be younger, you might be older. What about you, older person? Have you trusted in the Lord? See, you will never be able to walk in a manner that pleases the Lord except you trust in Him. Except He gives you a new heart, except He places His Holy Spirit within you. Now, Josiah was a young king, but he wasn't born a king. He became a king. However, there was one who was born a king. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the wise men ask Herod when they came to Jerusalem? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? You see, they knew that the one who was born, they knew that he was the promised Savior, the one who would sit upon the throne of David forever. And they had come seeking to worship the king. Though the Lord Jesus grew up, and even though he did not receive a crown of gold, he did receive a crown of thorns, in order that those who might trust in him might receive, as the Apostle Paul writes, an everlasting crown, or a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, and a crown of glory. You see, that's what the Lord gives to those who trust in Christ at the end of their journey. There's a crown of righteousness laid up for them. And I want to ask you, when it comes your day today, and we all have an appointed day, save the Lord's return, let me ask you, will it be your coronation day? Or will it be a day of condemnation? Because that's the reality when we die. It will either be the day of our coronation, when we will receive that crown of life, that crown of glory, that crown of righteousness that's laid up for us, or else for you it will be condemnation. Here we have the coronation of Josiah. But secondly, in this chapter we notice the construction by Josiah. He put on his builder's hat, as it were. And we didn't read it here, but we find out that 18 years later, and by that stage, Josiah was 26, he embarks on a construction project. Now, it wasn't to build something entirely new, but it was to repair, it was to restore a building that had been badly neglected. You see, for many years, the temple, or the house of God, had been mistreated. I dare say it was abandoned by many. Read of Manasseh. And he set up altars to false gods in the very courts of God's house. I'm sure Ammon wasn't much better. Read in the land that on every high hill there was altars to false gods. There was groves to idols and images. And therefore I dare say that, well, people abandoned the house of God. You know, that's like many today. They have forsaken. They have abandoned the house of God. They have abandoned the God of their fathers, and they worship at the altars of the false gods of this world. The gods of leisure and pleasure. Sunday? Not at all. That's my day. That's not the Lord's day. That's the day I golf. That's the day I do my shopping. The gods of leisure, the gods of pleasure, the gods of fame and fortune, of entertainment, of sport. That's the day I do my sport. You see, they've abandoned and they've forsaken the house of God. That's what they've done. Just like they have done here in Josiah's day. And maybe that's like you. You've abandoned, you've forsaken the house of God, but you're here today, and we're delighted for that. Extremely delighted. You maybe come at Christmas, at a stretch, maybe Easter. But that's it. By and large, you've forsaken God's house. Just like those in Josiah's day. But maybe that could change from this point forward. Maybe God will give you a heart to come again to his house. Now, what happens when a place is neglected? When it's not used, when it's not maintained? You know, some would suggest it was 218 years since any money was spent on the temple of God. Any work was done on that grand building. What happens if you never look after a building? If you never paint it? If you never do the upkeep of? What happens? It falls into disrepair. Becomes dilapidated. It won't be long until it becomes a ruin. And this upset Josiah. And he commanded his workers to get to work. He hired carpenters and builders and stonemasons, and he sent them to build in the temple, to repair it, to restore it. You know, when they were in there, as they were working away, they made an important discovery. Read in verse 8 that Hilkiah the priest, the high priest, he comes to Shaphan the scribe, and he tells him that he has found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And it was a written copy of the scripture. Most likely the first five books of the Old Testament. And I dare say it was in the form of a scroll. And they found the word of God, the law of the Lord in the house of God. You know, that tells us that not only was the house of God neglected, but the word of God was neglected. It wasn't in a conspicuous place. It was put to the side. Well, there might have been some form of worship going on, or so-called worship. But the book of the law, well, it was just put away to the side. Maybe some little room. And the dust would gather on it. And again, well, that's symptomatic of the age in which we live. And the Word of God, it's put to the side. It's no longer read. But the sad thing is that this book, the book of the law, it was lost in God's house. It was lost in God's house. And you know, there's many places, and there are places of so-called worship. But the Word of God, well, it's put to the side. It's squeezed into a little five-minute homily at the end. Oh, people don't want the Word. Oh, we need to keep it short. And we need to fill the time with other things. And the Word of God is pushed to the side. It's no longer the central act of worship, the reading, the hearing, the preaching of God's Word. Shaphan, he takes that book and he reads it. And then he takes it to Josiah with a report on how the work is coming on in the temple. And then he opens up the scroll and he begins to read to the king. what's in the Word of God. And it had a great impact upon Josiah, and that brings me to my third point. We thought about the coronation of Josiah, the construction by Josiah, but we have then the contrition of Josiah. What does the word contrition mean? This is why you come to church to learn these things. It means to be sorrowful. It means to feel remorse. And we read that in verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. In verse 19 we read that he wept. What does it mean to rend your clothes? Well, whatever clothes were on him, he took it and he ripped it. He ripped it. It impacted him so much. And he ripped his clothes and he wept. Did you know that was an outward act of how he felt inwardly? His heart was broken. He was sad when he heard the word of the law, because it was then that he just realized how much he and his people had sinned and departed from God. You see, in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that it is by the law that we have a knowledge of sin. He says, well, I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. And it's by the law that we have a knowledge of our sin. And you see, when God works upon the heart, and the heart is tender to that sin, the sinner will be sorrowful. They will feel remorse over the sin that they have committed. There's not much of that today. There's a hardness of heart, but Josiah had a tender heart. And it was broken over the sins of his people. See, the law of God, which is summarized in the Ten Commandments, it's our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. See, a quick examination by the law of God shows us that we're all guilty. We have broken it. We're deserving of God's wrath, the penalty, the punishment for breaking the law. And when a sinner comes under that knowledge and they have that fear, that contrition, that sorrowful heart, it causes them to look outside of themselves for salvation. And it causes them to look to Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who never did sin, not in thought, not in word, not in deed. And Jesus Christ, he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He came to obtain for his people, for his sheep, a perfect standard, a righteousness which they could never obtain for themselves. And by that righteousness, God is well pleased. God accepts him. You see, those who trust in Jesus Christ have given unto them, have imputed to their account, we might say in preaching language, credited to their account the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks upon such a person, they're acceptable. They're welcomed into heaven. You know, God will never lower a standard for you. You might say, I'm not that bad a person. I'm a pretty good boy or girl. Might do the odd thing wrong. I'm not a bad neighbor. Might tell the odd lie. The Bible says if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. And God will not lower his standard for you. You need a perfect righteousness. And only Jesus Christ is the one who fulfilled the law. And he imputes, he credits to those who trust in him his righteousness, and God accepts him as righteous in his sight. In the catechism, we call that justification. It's a tremendous word. Justified in the sight of God. Boy, girl, mom, dad, visitor, the only way God can accept you and welcome you into heaven is if you are righteous in his sight. And your own righteousness, well, they're just as filthy rags. Therefore, you need the righteousness of Christ. My final point this evening is the correction by Josiah, the coronation of Josiah. Then we have the construction by Josiah. Then the contrition of Josiah, and again the correction by Josiah. You see, after Josiah heard the law of God and learning that he and the people had sinned against God, he set about putting matters right. The first thing he did was to inquire of the Lord. He sought the Lord to see if there was mercy for him and the nation. And then he made corrections in the land. See, if you were in school and you got a maths equation wrong, and the teacher came to you and showed you where you had gone wrong and what you must do in order to make that equation right, well, you would be absolutely foolish if you didn't do that. You would just keep getting it wrong. Well, Josiah, he made the correction. God had showed him in the law where the land had sinned against him. And Josiah, he put the matter right. He made the corrections in the land. And we read about all those corrections in chapter 23. He caused the people to hear the words of the law. He pulled down the altars that were erected to the false gods. He purged the land of immoral and unclean and wicked and sinful men. He reintroduced the observance of the Lord's Passover. Those things he did that pleased the Lord, he made the correction. As I close, I say to those in their sin, God has told you the right thing to do in order that you might be saved. You must repent of your sin. You must trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and not to make that correction, not to repent, and not to trust in Jesus Christ. Well, that's a foolish thing to do, because the end of such a life, who has not turned to Christ, who has not trusted in Christ, the end of such an individual, we're told, is an everlasting and eternal hell. Surely when God tells you the right thing to do, you ought to do it. Josiah was the boy king. He had to be saved before the age of 8. Because we read that he did that which was right in the sight of God, and he walked in all the ways of David his father. And the only way a person can do that is if they have a new heart and the Spirit of God lives within them. Someday, we will all see King Jesus. And someday we are told that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I ask you again, will it be your coronation day? Or will it be the day of your condemnation? When the sentence is passed and God says, depart from me. I never knew. Why? Why refuse him any longer? Why neglect the house of God and pursue your sin? Why neglect the word of God? When Christ has come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. You know, people think today that churches, well, it's maybe unfashionable. Not the thing to do. The people that go there are all dour, they're not happy. Well, I asked you, do I look like someone that's unhappy? Do I look like someone that hasn't thought about these things? Oh, that's all archaic. That's for people who don't want to think. I'll tell you something. I have never thought more in my life since the day I became a Christian. I've never examined more. I've never thought more. I've never investigated more. I've never had my heart rejoice more as the answers come from the Word of God. You know the people who aren't thinking people? They're those who just mind-numbingly walk along in their sin. And I think of them as the walking dead. And they think of me that I have a boring life. That I'm unthinking. Oh, not at all. because the life of God is within the soul of the child of God. And that's the most blessed thing. Come at once. Come to Christ. Speak to me after the meeting. I'll be at the door shaking hands. Speak to someone else that's here. Get the matter sorted now. Get new life within. And Christ will be enthroned in your heart. And he'll be your Savior. He'll be your shepherd. And he'll be your sovereign. Let's bow in prayer. And once again, I thank you for your attention. And I give you that invitation, just as we bow our heads and close our eyes, even now in the quietness, call upon the Lord. Ask him to save you. Or take that opportunity and speak to me at the door. Say, can I have a little word? We'll find a quiet room, open up the scripture. That's why we're here. Not to point you to the church. Not to point you to some sort of ordinance. We're here to point you to Christ. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father in heaven, rejoice in all your love and your mercy to us. We thank thee for the one who was born a king. And though he had no crown of gold, but he had a crown of thorns, we thank thee, Lord, it was all thy plan. For he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He must go to Jerusalem and die upon the old rugged cross. For there was no other way. A God of love could reconcile the world and save a lost mankind. It is by the cross work of Christ. Lord, we confess our land is very much like in the days of Manasseh and Ammon. The house of God has been neglected. The word of God has been lost even in the house of God. Oh, have mercy. Even here you used a little boy, Josiah, and the Spirit of God was upon him. We pray for every little boy and girl that attends born here. Oh, that God's Spirit would be upon them. That he would be in their heart, guiding them and instructing them and keeping them and leading them and blessing them and carrying them all the way into glory. Lord, your promise is that you would pour your Spirit upon our offspring. And we pray that thou would do this. Lord, bless the word, bless thy people. Thou knowest the week that lies before them. And we pray that they will know, Lord, thy presence and thy help and thy grace. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be the portion of thy people this night forevermore until the day break and the shadows flee away. And we all are safely gathered round the feet of the blessed Jesus. Do us good. Take us to our homes in safety. For this we asked in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.